Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. We are back right now. Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. We are covering all of North Alabama, and as always, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a couple of quick, interesting texts I'll just tell you real quick. Somebody just texted in, Jay from Birmingham texted in and says, voting machines are malfunctioning in Arizona. What else could you possibly say? Collusion? I hadn't seen that report, but we'll be watching for it, Jay. Thanks much for the heads up on that. We got, where'd it go? Daniel from Tullahoma, Tennessee, says Fetterman voted Republican. I don't know what that means, but if I find out that's true, we're going to have a good laugh. Hey, let me go to the phones right now. FM Talk 106.5, talk show station down on the coastal area of our state. Also, 1819 News, they have in common my friend Jeff Poor, who has a radio show down there in Mobile, also is the executive editor for 1819. He's on the line right now to talk politics. Jeff, how you doing, bud?
Doing well. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, man. Hey, thanks for your time. So, Stephanie Smith was on a minute ago, and I kind of got both of y'all on with the intent to, I just want to hear what's in your brain. I mean, like, more than punditry, more than polls, what does Jeff Poor want to see happen by the time the ballots are all counted? What are you looking for?
Well, I feel like we kind of know what's going to go on, just how big, right? What is the mood? Is this, you know, the Democrats are telling us one thing, but conventional wisdom says another. And I think we'll know early. Like, I think some of these Eastern time zone states, I think you'll see them come in. And, you know, they may not be Republican, but it's the margin of victory for Democrats. Or, you know, like a New Hampshire sneaks up and surprises us, and it goes for the Republican. It's going to be a big Republican night. You know, these little things, you don't think of them at the time, but as the night starts, the mood of the country, we'll figure that out when the first polls start to close and then we first start getting results.
Well, yeah. So as you're watching it, you personally, like at the end of it all, I know you're looking for a red wave. I know that'd be your number one desire. I would see a red wave across the nation. But like what kind of things do you want to have come out of it? What are you looking for long term? Just you, Jeff Poor, is what I'm asking.
Oh, well, I'm so tired of being lectured and told that the most important thing in America is January 6th. I want this to be a rebuke of that so I don't have to hear about that anymore. Look, January 6th was terrible, but I'm over it. I don't care anymore. Should I care? I don't know. But don't make it – try to make it the most important thing in my life. Also, let's see this abortion theory that suburban women are showing up in droves to vote against Republicans. Let's find out if that's true. Let's test some of these talking points from Democrats, because we've been hearing them, and I have a sneaking suspicion that none of them are what they have been made up to be by cable news or, you know, blue check marks on Twitter, et cetera.
I totally agree. I mean, there's several things in this that I want to see proven out. I want to also find out that in the end we saw a groundswell, or at least an uptick strongly, in the Black and Hispanic voting for Republicans. I mean, I think we're there finally. I think we're finally starting to see that there's been a breakthrough in the mentality that the Black vote is always Democrat, which I've always found to be a fallacy. But it's borne itself out in the numbers. But what I'm saying is, I believe that the Black population of America has a mind of its own, is finally starting to break free of some of that. I want to see that in the polls. I want to see that after the counts are done and see where it's at.
Or how about the Hispanic vote?
Yes.
South Florida, the border counties in Texas. Let's see that if this runaway immigration policy really is the answer for Hispanics, because I think you're gonna find there's gonna be a lot of pushback there. Now they're already trying to kind of temper expectations there that Republicans are giving out are putting out misinformation in Miami-Dade County. A segment on Fox News last night on Tucker Carlson, the first time in 20 years potentially that a Republican gubernatorial candidate could win Miami-Dade County. And if that's the case, will Democrats take anything away from that? Or what do they do? If they really get it handed to them tonight, do they learn any lessons from this? Does Joe Biden learn any lessons? You and I talked about that today. You and I don't think so. But how about other Democrats? Are we going to start seeing some rumblings here? Are we going to start seeing some division in the Democratic Party? Because it always seems to me to be this, Senator. The infighting is always accentuated, highlighted by Democrats in the media. They could not get enough of Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump. Well, you'll find it. Those two probably agree on more than not. It's time to, you know, expose these Democrats to show they have real divisions. They are not a unified party. They have 50 different interests under one umbrella, and they were all united by a hatred for Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump is starting to fade from the picture here. What is going to keep that coalition together?
Yeah, I totally get it. And here's the other thing, too, that I'm hoping to see come out of this. I want to see some of this soft-on-crime crap be put to rest by voting in people who have been campaigning on being tough on crime. I mean, the idea that we're seeing people with no bail that get back out and commit violent crimes the same day, that's got to stop. We've got to get New York City back. We've got to get Chicago back. We've got to start reclaiming territory. And so my real hope, too, in this is that we see candidates like Lee Zeldin, who's running for governor of New York, campaigning in part upon the fact that the citizens of New York are scared to go out on the streets at night, or by day for that matter. I want to see that come to the polls in a big way.
Well, and let's say this. I mean, this notion that if you go soft on crime, cashless bail, you'll have the situation like you have in some major American cities here, that's what people want. Those people may not vote. That is not the path to electoral success, and they're going to find that out, I think. If New York does indeed elect a Republican governor, the will Democrats take away from that and say, maybe this soft on crime approach, that we need social workers instead of more policemen, and all that nonsense goes away. I'm skeptical, but look, do these guys really want to just be irrelevant? Here's, you know, you think about this, Senator. We talked about how terrible Jimmy Carter was for next 3, 4, or 5 presidential elections until Clinton came along. But Republicans would say a vote for Mondale or a vote for Dukakis is a return to those terrible, terrible Clinton years. I mean, to those Carter years. Is this going to be a generational harm done to Democrats in 24 and 28, 32 and so forth? A vote for that Democrat is a return to Biden, because it feels that way to me.
Oh, I agree. I think we're looking at a historical, like the pendulum is shifting, and I believe that Biden's going to go down in history as the guy who dragged his party into a 10, 15, 20-year slump. And they never should have had him as a candidate to begin with. That's another story. But all said and done, let me ask you this. If you're, I mean, I know you will be, you're like me, you're going to be watching the polls until you can't keep your eyes open anymore. What are the bellwethers for you? If you're watching tonight and you see a return come in that looks good Republican, what does that tell you? Like that tells you good things are happening. Which race are you watching for the returns to give you an indication of where everything else is going?
Well, let's see if Walker can win without a runoff. Not just win a plurality, but win without a runoff. I think Florida sort of is anticlimactic, so you don't get a real sense of the enthusiasm about what's going on down there. I look up and down the Eastern Seaboard. If Oz beats Fetterman, Oz was counted for dead. If there's a big margin there, and then we start moving in, like Alabama. Even look at that Butler race. Look down my way at Pete Rehm versus Vivian Davis Figures. Those are places that have never gone Republican, at least not maybe since Reconstruction or something.
Yeah.
And they start going Republican. I mean, there's just – what do you attribute that to? And there's a sort of an angst among the voters out there about it's a national election. It's not that – I mean, Vivian Figures may not be a great state senator in the eyes of a lot of people, but the prevailing motivation to get them to the polls to go vote straight Republican wasn't that. It was because Biden is terrible. So watch like these little races, and you watch for them. And if there's a bunch of surprises, and because it'll be nothing but a rebuke of the current presidential administration.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air, Boomer and I, about the fact that the presidential approval ratings actually affect the down ballot all the way down to your state Senate and state House races, because people's sentiment is tied to the name they're most familiar with in the party that they're voting against. And that's so it's going to be interesting to see how far down the Biden administration drags the polls today.
Who woke up this morning, Senator, and said, "I'm excited to go vote for Democrat"? What in this entire country, who is an exciting Democrat to vote for? There's got to be at least one, right? There's got to be like the next Barack Obama or something. Like, yeah, I want to vote for that guy. I mean, he's like compelling, and it's not Beto O'Rourke. It's not, Fetterman. It's not Newsom. I mean, who is that? And there's nothing for people to wake up and get excited about voting for.
Well, in the states where they already have legalized recreational marijuana use, I would say somebody probably woke up and thought it'd be great to vote for a Democrat. But then again, that might have been influenced by something. Let me just ask you this. I'm going to give you the lightning round here of a few races, and you just tell me which way you think it's going to go. All right. So running through the race, Arizona governor Lake versus was it Hobbs? What do you think?
Yeah, Hobbs has just collapsed. I would have given the edge to Hobbs probably a month ago, but she just has been in hiding and trying to play prevent defense. I think Lake and McMaster's there. Arizona has the winds have shifted.
All right, so continuing the lightning round, Fetterman Oz, what do you think?
Oz right now, watch those. I mean, I don't know what the suburbs are going to do, and there's I'm a sucker for polls. I always get bit by the polls, but I'm not as certain on that one as I am Arizona.
Governor of New York, Zeldin versus Hochul.
Zeldin probably, just like I said, who's waking up? The thing that's going to hurt Democrats, everything revolves around New York City there, and the crime is just out of control.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, a couple more. Out in Michigan, Midwest, vote for governor. Is Gretchen Whitmer going to take it, or is, I've forgotten her name now. What's her name?
Tudor Dixon.
Tudor Dixon, that's right.
I'm not sold on a Tudor Dixon. This one Whitmer just she has some geographic strength up there. Maybe 2016 was an anomaly with Michigan and Donald Trump.
Well, she was the Wicked Witch of the West for COVID, so I'm hoping that she's gone. All right, last one, right next door to our east, Raphael Warnock, Herschel Walker. What are your thoughts?
Warnock by an edge, but probably over time we'll get a runoff here in a couple of months.
All right. There it is, Jeff Poor with his eye across the board. We appreciate you, brother. We'll see what happens tonight, and I'm sure you and I'll be talking in the next couple of days.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, see you. All right, that's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, also the executive editor for 1819 News. He sees this stuff about as clear as anybody I know. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. Going to wrap this segment up. Did I even get through with freedom on the ballot? I didn't, did I? I'm not getting the diesel fumes today, am I? All right, folks, if you haven't voted, what are you waiting for? Go vote. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Boomer, I'm loving the things you've been doing to the live stream, man.
Hey, thanks. There's more to come.
I mean, the banners look so professional and stuff. Yes. So, yeah. By the way, if you ever want to watch the live stream and just, see what's happening on the inside of the actual studio here, Right Side, it's an actual studio. We got a studio. It's rightsideradio.org. That's the website. .org, rightsideradio.org. And there's a place on there where you can click live stream. And there we is. So there's a lot of folks, by the way, that You know, if you're driving, if you're getting outside of what I call the overly broad range of our AM/FM capabilities, then you can live stream the show, and no matter where you is, there we is. I used to say that all the time. I hadn't said that in a while. So anyway, yeah, website takes you to all of the stuff. Hey, got some great texts. I gotta jump over here to the text string. If you want to text in, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. Welcome to Michael in Madison, who's new on the text string. Said he's been listening to the show forever. He listens to 92.5 up in Huntsville, been there for several years, drives a sweeper truck, so he just listens to the radio all day long, and I appreciate you. Thank you, Michael. Glad you're on the text string with us. Glad you're a listener. John from Huntsville just sent in saying that he has heard that there was a utility worker that died being electrocuted and caused a power outage at one of the voting sites in Texas. That's a horrible situation, which apparently has also shut down some polling sites. I'm sure they will adjust and make an alternate polling opportunity for those folks, but wow, what a horrible story. John from Brownsboro. John from Brownsboro texts in. He goes, the same rule applies when you're visiting your lawyer or just going grocery shopping. Don't do it with a full bladder or an empty belly. Both can cause irrational decisions. Wisdom. That's wisdom. John from Brownsboro. Wisdom. Appreciate you. Paul from Athens texted in, said during the break that ABC had reported that machines were malfunctioning in Texas. And that may be because of that same power outage that we got from John from Huntsville. There's that. Chuck from Oneida says, pray and pray some more. We got to take our country out of the hands of Democrats. I get it. All right. Listen, let me wrap up this segment that I've been calling Freedom on the Ballot. Got to tell you, these ballot initiatives around the nation are pretty amazing. Did you know LA Times is reporting as of yesterday that on the ballot in Los Angeles, I believe it is. Is it Los Angeles? I think it's Los Angeles. Hang on a second. Let me make sure I'm saying that correctly. They had a ballot measure to allow for 16-year-olds to vote. 16. I take it back. It's Culver City. Culver City, California, not Los Angeles. That would have been much more significant. But even still, Culver City, California has a ballot measure to allow voting at 16 years old. That's interesting. I'm pretty sure the Kardashians would be able to influence votes in Culver City at that point. We got other things like the fact that there's almost like racist provisions being put on the ballot in New York City. Cityjournal.org, a website that reports on goings-on in New York City, says when New York City voters head to the polls, this was reported last week, they shouldn't overlook the back of their ballots. Three questions submitted by the New York City Racial Justice Commission, a body convened in March by then-Mayor Bill de Blasio to root out systemic racism across New York City, will amend the city's charter on what is known as, quote, racial equity grounds. Now, the measures, it says, are legally toothless. They don't contain a proviso to say how they would be implemented. But if adopted, it says, advocates would then argue in City Hall and in the courts that the new rules require legal changes. The first one, you ready for this? Ask voters to add a preamble to the city charter that acknowledges, quote, grave injustices and atrocities and discrimination, racial segregation, mass incarceration, and other forms of violence and systemic inequity. In other words, that would be in the preamble to the city charter that those are the things the city has been built on. Wow. The second question enables the first one to then be put in practical effect. It would require the city and each agency to create a biennial racial equity plan. Okay, and promote and hire a chief equity officer. Wow. The third and final question creates a, quote, true cost of living measure that aims to calculate an average amount necessary to cover the cost of essential needs at an adequate level. In other words, tell you what it's going to take to live there. That way they can give you stuff to make up the difference. Just telling you, folks, ballot measures. It's not just about what we got on the ballot here. Some of what's happening around the nation, it filters out to other places. It becomes what they call model legislation they carry to other states. Let's don't do it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, going into hour number 3. We'll be right back.